Welcome back to Sharpen the Iron Podcast, where it is my job to share with you tools, lessons, inspiration, and ideas to help you sharpen your iron mind, empowering you to go out and walk with God day by day to maximize your life. Today we are talking about doing things for the glory of God. And I want to start with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God." So what does this look like in our lives? How can I, a student at a community college, a part-time worker, you know, someone who works out, creates podcasts, a brother, a son, a friend, bring glory to God through these things in everything that I do? In high school, something we often heard before going to certain places was to remember who we were representing. We were representing the Humboldt Wildcats. So they always told us, coaches told us, remember the name across your chest or on your back, whether it be at a sporting event or whatever. This is something we talked about often, and it was a big deal, right? If we were somewhere and misbehaved and left a bad impression, that was on the school. I mean, it made us look bad as individuals, but it also made our school look bad. So we think of this when it comes to like who we work for. We want to represent the company we work for, the team we play up for or a part of, the school we go to, and our families. We want to represent our last name. We want to represent our mascot, our team, whatever it is. But we often forget that as Christians, we too are bearing the name of our Father. We are representing the Lord in everything we do. It is as if we are walking around with Jesus' name on our back. So we push this agenda of representing what we stand for or what we are embodying. We push this agenda in the secular world, but rarely in a spiritual sense. Because everything we do leaves an impression on someone somewhere. So how can we bring glory to God in everything we do, knowing we are stewards and servants of His grace, love, mercy, hope, faith, and forgiveness? And I want to go back to myself and think about yours in your unique setting, your unique situation for anyone listening. You know, I can think I am only a student at a community college, or I'm just a cashier at a gas station, or I'm only an elementary teacher. We can easily overlook where we are and reduce the gifts God has given us and the opportunities right in front of us. And if we think of Jesus before he began his public teaching, what did he do? Well, obviously, he grew up in the Jewish faith, and he was trying to grow in his Jewish faith and in the scriptures. But he was also a carpenter. Anyone now can say, well, you know, I'm only a carpenter, or I'm only an electrician, you know, whatever job you may be working. And how am I supposed to bring glory to God through that? Well, we can look to Jesus. How did Jesus use carpentry to bring glory to God? And obviously, we do not have any real answers about Jesus's carpentry work or any examples, but one could make the assumption that Jesus did his carpentry work to the best of his ability, right? He was honest and fair in how he conducted his business. He used the gifts and skills he had to serve others and do so in a genuine manner for the right reason. He went about what he did with positive attitude, with a good spirit, a joyful spirit, without grumbling and complaining, even if it was something he may not wanted to have to do. Or may not want it to do. To me, this is how we bring glory to God in everything we do, right? Even the most mundane tasks of life, like emptying the dishwasher or doing the laundry. So I think there's two elements to this. There's two elements to how we can bring glory to God in the things that we do. And the first one being doing the thing that you are doing to the best of your God-given ability. So as a student, I have to take notes, just do some studying. We have assignments to complete and projects to work on with others. We have to listen in class. We have to be respectful and attentive to our teachers, show up on time and make the most of the opportunity before us. This is what we are called to do. This is what a good student looks like. A good steward of this opportunity would be doing these things. So by doing these things, for example, right, doing my homework to the best of my ability, I can bring glory to God. And now you can notice my homework has nothing to do with any spiritual matter, but I can use the gifts God has given me to do my best, which can bring him glory. By me giving something my best, even if I fail, no one can ever take that from you as well. Because God sees where your heart is with the thing that you are doing, the thing that you even potentially failed at. If you're doing it to bring him glory and for the right reason, he sees that. So the world might not think, as you turn in a homework assignment, oh, look at him, he brought glory to God through this. But God can see you did that to the best of your ability, and you're using what I have given you. God can see our hearts. Right? If you half-ass your work and taking notes, you show up late to class and let everyone else do the group project, this reveals your character, and your character is directly correlated to your relationship with Jesus Christ. The world may not think, you know, man, this goes back to what I was saying earlier, man, he shows up on time, he takes care of his work, and he's a good student. He is really bringing glory to God. The world, again, it may never notice or see the reasons behind why you're doing the things you are doing. And that is okay, because God sees our intentions and where our hearts are at. So in everything we do, whether it be mowing the lawn, doing your homework, cleaning up some mess, helping someone else out, by doing these things to the best of your own ability, because someone may have more ability than you, they may have more resources, and they may have more skills or talents, and they're hopefully being stewards of what they have. It doesn't mean you have to compare, but you're just using what you have to the best of your ability. We are being good stewards of what God has given us, and we are making the most of the opportunity before us. And your conscience will even tell you when you know you could have done something better. So there are times, for example, when going into this test, you know, maybe I did not do my best in studying or did not study at all. And my conscience calls me out for it. It tells me you could have done better. You did not give it all you have. So that is a very real thing as well, is our conscience will let us know when we've not given it our best, not given it our all. And even if you do something, say you get done doing something, but the whole time you had a grumbling, complaining attitude, for me at least, like I know that I could have had a better attitude while doing that thing. I know I maybe didn't need to be so negative or... So I just get convicted in that when I know that I could have done better. I think that's our conscious calling us out. That's God, the Holy Spirit, working within us, trying to bring the best out of us. Secondly, it is not only doing the things to the best of our ability, but also it is the attitude and spirit we have while doing these things. Because again, life is full of things that many of us would rather not do. But what attitude will we have while doing them? That's what it comes down to. For example, as a parent with a new child, there are many times when you will have to get up in the middle of the night and go tend to a crying baby. And I'm not a parent, but I can guarantee after so long, this is a great test of patience and love. So I read in a book from Richard Rohr, when someone was talking about this. He was telling a story about someone else who was having to wake up in the night to go care for a baby. And what they said about it has just always stuck with me. So obviously, again, I'm sure that after so long, that can be a frustrating thing. You're losing sleep. You're getting up in the middle of the night. It's just work. But the person said in the story, I'm just learning how to love. And I think that is such a beautiful thing. Whether we're tested with people who test our patience, who bother us or get to us or annoy us, or there's people that we may have prejudice against or negative feelings towards. These people are truly teaching us how to love. That attitude of the person in the story that they were just learning how to love, that attitude brings glory to God. That's humility. You might not want to sit down and do that homework or go to class or fold the laundry or go tend to something in the yard. And I think that is okay. I do not think you should expect yourself to love everything you are doing, to feel joyful and just full of life when you're folding the laundry. The scripture says, rejoice always, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're full of positive emotions and feelings. But the proper attitude can make a world of a difference, and that is rejoicing always. That is trying to have the proper attitude, to constantly work to put things into perspective. Because when doing something you would rather not do, you can complain and grumble and make yourself out to be a victim. But that is not only miserable for you, but for everyone else as well. And think about it. If you're doing a task that you'd rather not do that already sucks, complaining is only going to make it worse. You're only going to feel more sorry for yourself. The antidote to that thing is having a positive attitude and a joyful spirit, working to have a joyful spirit by putting things into perspective. So regardless of feelings, you can work to put things into perspective. You can speak words of life into yourself and into others. You can ask God to help you see as He does, right? If you're doing a task with other people and they're grumbling or they're having a hard time getting through it, you can work to encourage those around you. And now this is obviously, again, much easier said than done. There can be some chronic negativity in people, but your joyful words can, your encouraging words can hopefully be just a bit of a pushback against that. You can help talk others through what you're going through, right? If you're working on a task and it's difficult, you can speak words of life that can keep you focused on what you are doing, the thing at hand. And part of this is something I truly learned in ultra running. When training for races, there would be many days when the weather sucked, I was tired and would rather not be out there running. I did not feel like it. But keeping my attitude in check changed how I approached what I was doing. I tried to remind myself the gift of the ability to use my legs. I would just be out there and I'd try to say thank you. I would work to put things into perspective and remind myself, I can bear this, I can get through this, and I will get through this. And I always did. While running races as well, when you have been running for 15, 20, 24 hours, if you can keep a smile on your face, it is contagious. Because those other runners are out there. They know what each of you is going through. Those people who are working at aid stations, they've ran these races too. And they see that smile on your face. When your body is broken, but your spirits are high, that is an inspiring and contagious and beautiful thing. By keeping positive spirits and a positive attitude, in events like this and just in life, you really do give life to others and to yourself. You give life to yourself and others. And this is what has got me through, is just keeping myself in check and struggling with a smile. So as my high school football coach said, Coach Elman, all you can control is your attitude and effort. I think that's gold. That's the bottom line. Your attitude and effort bring glory to God. You didn't choose the family you were born into. You didn't choose the town you grow up in. You didn't choose your genetic disposition. You did not choose your looks. You did not choose so many things. But you can choose your attitude and effort. And again, some of us are in much more difficult places than others. But what other choice do we have besides controlling the things that we can control, giving the rest to God, giving it all to God, and through that attitude and effort, we can bring glory to God. And now I want to end with a verse that is just perfect for this, from Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as though you were doing, do it wholeheartedly as though you were working for your real master and not merely for humans. You know that your real master will give you an inheritance as your reward. It is Christ, your real master, whom you are serving in everything you do. I think that's so, is such a beautiful thing, right? If we can attach the things we're doing to a much bigger purpose, it changes it. And you can attach the things you're doing. You know, say you're doing the dishes now, or you're doing some task you don't want to do, but you can connect it. I'm doing this thing for my future family so I can put them in a position to be successful and give them a good life, right? You're connecting it to a bigger thing. But there's nothing greater to connect what you're doing things to than to connect them to your faith, to God, to bringing glory to Him. That is the highest of highs. That's the highest thing you can connect things to. So there's ultimate purpose and meaning within that. Your attitude and effort bring glory to God. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily discipline. It's a daily thing we must keep in mind and stay attentive to. And it requires work, but it's just one moment at a time. If we can look to Him, He will guide us. So I thank you guys for listening and showing up. I hope you found something in this one. You have been blessed. So go forth and be blessers. I will see you next time. And as always, sharpen the iron.